A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hang on, lads. I've got it this time. Sing, sing, Africa. Sing, sing, Africa. We're still here.
In body, if not in mind.
We're all of it.
Yeah, we're all here.
Three of us are incredibly hungover. Yeah. Marcus is as fresh as a daisy, but we're ready to do this.
Fresh as a newborn daisy.
Fresh as a spring lamb.
It is World Cup ramble. The last World Cup round, because the tournament's over. It's finished.
Yeah. Well, it's not actually technically finished until this podcast finishes.
That's right.
The mic's come down. Yeah. I'm a bit annoyed at Sepp Blatter for having that closing ceremony before.
When
I click save as, that's what it ends. The show's not over till I click save as.
Exactly.
It, for any computer fans, I save as an MP3 64 kilobytes per second mono file. So it's a smaller download, but still retains all the quality.
Nice.
Yeah. What can you say to that? Thanks for listening. if you still are.
In case you don't know who that was Pete Donaldson.
It was indeed, yes. Yeah, hello, everyone.
He's also joined by James or Jim Campbell.
Hello.
Luke Aaron Moore.
Salutations. All right.
Brings up the rear, as usual.
Yeah. ManMonth.co.uk, the final moments, near seconds of ManMonth.co.uk. You can see all of our videos, all of our blogs and stuff, the old blogs from Jim that Jim writes, and a couple of videos for live, not really live, from Johannesburg. We've been doing a bit of filming over the World Cup, and it's there's some good stuff. There's going to be some good stuff. That'll probably appear tomorrow morning, and being a Tuesday and all. That's also in association with IGN, and 1 Million Fragrance for Men. That's ManMonth.co.uk. Get there.
Thanks, Pete.
No worries.
Chappies,
yes.
I want you to tell myself and the good people who are lending their ears to this project, what have been your favourite moments in the last two games? We've got the third place playoff to choose from and the final itself. Pete.
I can barely believe it's all over. I'm going to go for De Jong's karate kick, which I've never heard so many people go, oh!
On Xavi Alonso.
Yeah, do you remember when David Batty did that bicycle kick into a player's face once? I remember being in a pub and everyone just went, oh!
It happened when John Terry put his face on Thingy's boot in the cup final.
Yeah,
tournament. Yeah. Uruguay.
Yes.
Was it Uruguay-Holland?
It was, yeah.
That was a nasty one.
Was it Heitinga?
It was just one of the boys
laid out
for Holland. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But so good one, Pete.
So you've gone for that. There was
it was a definite red for Mike.
Yeah, straight red.
Let's make that clear.
Lord Ramble was going, no, it was just a yellow. He's gone in for the ball, which no.
Woefully late.
The shadow of the ball.
I'm not sure either. It's nasty, but I don't think it's a straight red,
because
he's not gonna break anything there. And I do
studs
think, you know,
up. Studs up, James. Above the waist.
It was above the nipple. Let's not forget.
Yeah, outrageously late.
If anything, Alonso should have been booked for diving. That's what I think about it.
They got no backbone, these foreigners. James.
No, exactly.
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
James, what are you going to go for then?
It's probably not my overall highlight of the last two games, but you know, just something that really stood out for me was Forlan hitting the bar with like the last kick of the game in the third place playoff.
Yeah. Yes.
Because he would have been top scorer then, and he's had a fantastic tournament. He's a great, great player. And yeah,
it
would have
like
been fitting. I do like him a lot.
Moment is when he nearly.
I'm not saying it's a favourite moment. I'm saying it's a standout moment. It's a very, very dramatic moment, I thought.
But the best bit about Forlan's form this World Cup is that he wasn't on any of the posters. He wasn't on any of the advertising bump. Yeah. And
a little fact to him. A little fact actually. About Forlan, you might not be aware of. He used to play for Manchester United.
Did he?
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Maybe he couldn't have done very well then, if I don't remember.
Yeah, right, yeah. No. Okay, so you've gone for Forlan.
I'm going for Forlan.
Luke,
I'm going to break with convention. And
as long as you don't break with wind,
take this very rare opportunity on the mic amongst you lot to issue a formal apology. Oh. Which is something I feel very responsible for, even though it's mostly your guys' fault as well. the Spanish Congo, which never really was. And it was, but ages ago.
Well, you know, time is relative, isn't it, really?
Hang on.
We saw
hang
this on the tiny TV, and I knew...
With the sound off.
Yeah, and I knew that they had done that before, but I just thought it happened again. And unless you had to get really close to the telly to see the Euro 2008, I don't know why they were showing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. After the game that just happened.
It's worth pointing out that we've had no internet.
Or telly.
In our flat, yeah.
Our telly doesn't work. Our only telly we've been watching in shop windows and restaurants. Yeah. Oh, dear.
So, yeah, apologies. I mean, it's not the first time I've made a rudimentary error. I'm not going to lie to you. It won't be the last.
No.
Yeah, but as long as we all enjoy them together.
There'll be more today.
That's the main thing.
As long as we move forward and learn together.
For all I know, I've made about three in the last 5 minutes.
Probably wouldn't have been a problem if I hadn't really sort of signposted by naming the show The Conqueror of Shame. So
exactly. But yeah, that would probably be my highlight, making a massive idiot of myself in front of every single listener we have.
Yeah, can I take mine back and go for that as well?
I am going to go for... and this is probably the pinnacle of the man's career, Andres Iniesta scoring the winner, because I think he's a fantastic player, as we all know. I don't get any
brownie points,
Tim Lovejoy points for saying that. of all the players I'd have liked to have scored the winner, I think it would have been him.
A goal worthy of
apart from
the
maybe
World
the
Cup.
Goalkeeper, because it would have been outrageous viewing. But
you know well, like when people talk in such high regard for someone like Zinedine Zidane, which is absolutely fair, I think that's sort of manifested itself more since he's retired. And it'll probably happen with a lot of these other players who are playing now, but it's worth remembering that.
I thought that Xavi, I'd imagine.
Well, Xavi and especially Andres Iniesta are on their way to becoming sort of defining players of this generation.
Absolutely, you
know? How old is Iniesta? 26? I'm like that. He's won everything.
Is he even that old?
He's won everything. Yeah. You know, and it's a testament to his motivation, his
not
drive,
the Premier League.
His ambition. Well, exactly. Yeah, yeah. he can carry on doing that and achieving such a high level. And I think he's also a bit of a class act as well.
Well, he'll probably just retire now, won't he?
Yeah,
I would.
We were rewatching the Spain Germany match, or parts of any of the highlights, and I was just looking at his face, and I was thinking, you don't know you're going to score the winner in the World Cup final in extra time. I just found that, it just blew my tiny mind. That did. And it was, and as you were saying, a class act. He took off his shirt to reveal a message to the his departed friend
Danny Yarko.
Always with us.
It was a superb goal as well, wasn't it? That little chipped dink to set himself up with a volley.
Before we talk about that, we're going to say that, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to dish out the points just yet.
No,
because that will be coming up later on in the show, with see how we get on with our World Cup predictions, which we said about a month ago that we'd written down who we thought was going to win, second place, top scorer, where England going to finish, how many red cards and how many goals.
And it is genuine. I mean, Jim, for example, has put his in a you know when you go to pay money into a bank and you put it in that deposit envelope. James has sealed his in one of those with World Cup predictions written on the front.
do you do a lot of that then, Jim?
Yeah, well,
paying money into the bank.
Yeah, I reckon he tried to put it in.
Well, yeah, obviously I don't think you should mock it, because I've got a really quite high chance of being caught up in a bank robbery, so for doing that sort of thing. So bravery points to me, please.
Well, let's then talk about the final then. Spain won 1-0. After extra time, Vicente Del Bosque said the reward today was for beautiful football.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting. You and I were talking about this yesterday, Marcus. I think I was talking about it to one of you boys, which is that Spain have won the World Cup basically with the exception of the parts of the Germany game, without really hitting top gear. They didn't hit the heights they hit in Euro 2008, did they?
No.
And
they didn't need to be
no,
fair.
No, but absolutely. And they started off poorly against Switzerland. But, you know, Holland played so negatively, I thought, and it sort of was a bit of a cagey final, which these occasions often are. And you said, Marcus, rightly, the third place playoff will be a better game in the final just because there's so much at stake. In the third place playoff, you can play with a lot of freedom. It's almost like a showpiece thing, isn't it? It'd be nice to get
Holland played with two midfielders just right at the back, right in front of the back four. There was six players in the box. It was ridiculous.
Inviting a team like Spain to attack you, which is what that essentially is insanity, though.
I find that counter-attacking style of football, obviously it does work. Holland got to the final of the World Cup, for God's sake, so they're doing okay. I find that sort of type of football odd, because if you do concede early for a mistake or something, or you get unstuck, you really are struggling. I mean, I know the best managers can adapt and stuff, but you could struggle there, because you've set your stall out in a certain way, haven't you?
An example of that was I know they're obviously a far, far more limited side, but when Greece played Argentina and they had to win, didn't they? Or they
were defending a 1-0.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They couldn't. They went 1-0 down and couldn't break out of that mentality. They were still just 9 men behind the ball, with Samaras up front on his own. And you're right. How do you? You've got to change your game plan immediately.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the US, like we said before, Bob Bradley, the USA did that after half an hour, didn't he? When they went 1-0 down. But yeah, I mean, I thought the final was. I mean, the environment where we watched the final, which I'm sure you'll come onto in a minute, was actually much more entertaining than the game itself.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think Spain are the best team in the world, and I think they've just proved that as well, Pete. But they've only lost twice since beating England at Old Trafford in February 07 to the US and Switzerland, both of which happened in South Africa, of course. Switzerland at the start of this tournament, the US at
Confederations
a year ago. I think the ideal final, and no disrespect to Holland, but it would have been Spain versus Brazil, because Spain would have had to have done a bit more, I feel. But you've got to feel sorry for the Dutch, Pete. Three finals.
Oh, yeah, damn right. I mean, it was just kind of, you could see it in their face. To be honest, though, credit to their, is it the Prime Minister? He was very sort of...
Oh, the Prince, was it?
I'm not really sure what kind of system they have to be growing.
Prince isn't Dutch. What are you guys talking about?
he seemed quite happy.
He's always there at the games.
Yeah, but I did feel sorry for them, because they were my sort of... I quite like the idea of them just not playing exactly the greatest football in the world, and they're quite a mixed side. They're young at the back and older at older as you move at the field. But I don't know. I would have liked to have had a bit more of a fight in the.
I wouldn't have liked to see Van Bommel lift the World Cup.
No. He's not very nice.
Disgrace. How is he on the pitch?
Well, I thought he was going to get sent off. I was saying to you before the game, he's going to go.
Yeah.
Well, he should have gone in the semi.
Gone in the game before that?
Yeah, he should have gone in every game he's played in. Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable.
I kind of felt sorry for our dear not departed referee.
Howard Webb.
It just sort of
Team Webb.
I think is he sponsored by the colour yellow?
Yeah, I think so.
I just think he wouldn't have wanted to. He would have wanted a slightly quieter. So he's one of those referees that lets the game play. But when you've got people just doing karate chops and stuff on people,
he kept having to blow. I think it was 14 yellow cards.
But most of them I can remember,
they were bookings.
And obviously the red to Johnny Huizinga. But he came under a lot of criticism from the Dutch camp, funnily enough. Iron Robin said that when I got my second chance, this was because obviously he missed that glorious chance when Casillas made that wonderful save, and Robin will be sick as a dog, you know, thinking back at that. But he said, when I got my second chance, when he ran through on goal, the referee should have given us a free kick and Puyol a second yellow card.
But it's ridiculous, though, because that's such a hard decision for the referee to make. And I know that Puyol put his arm around him, but Robin is not exactly backwards in coming forwards when it comes to diving.
That's right.
He should have just gone down if there was contact.
Well, that's the thing. If he stayed on his feet, then it's not a problem, is it? You can't...
So he's like crying wolf, sort of.
Basically, you can't give a foul for something that might have happened, which is essentially what he's trying to.
But he made the decision that he wanted to press on and try and have a shot on target and try and score, and it didn't happen. You can't then say, "Well, I want the referee to blow up."
I think Casillas did really well in that situation. He doesn't seem to be getting any credit out of it, but he did really well.
You see, he got a little kiss from his girlfriend. None of was blamed for
she
his.
Hadn't put him off too much.
No.
You know that I think he's in a mixed tournament, but he had a good final. Yeah. Like,
sorry, James.
Yeah, with regard to the Dutch reaching the final three times, I mean, we think we've got it bad in terms of sort of how we've gone out of World Cups and stuff. Can you imagine what it must be like to just get to the final three times and just not manage it? I found myself sort of naturally rooting for the Dutch as the game wore on.
Did you?
And because they were playing not the greatest looking football in the world, I think people were sort of thinking, well, maybe they might be able to sneak it, because they've had some decent teams in the past and played such lovely football. And
we'll go back to Robin. He went on to say, when you play a World Cup final, this is to do with the criticism of Howard Webb, he said, when you play in a World Cup final, you need a world-class referee. And, I have to be careful what I say, this was not the case for this match.
Well, I think Howard Webb's a good referee. I thought that before. And he got a little bit of stick here and there from certain sections of English supporters and stuff, and saying that he's not great and all this sort of thing. I think he's a good ref.
I don't think he had a howler, like that seems to imply.
No. I think the only bad decision was the karate kick, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, he came under a hell of a lot of criticism, the Holland manager, how do you pronounce his name?
Bert van Marwijk.
Marwijk. Yeah. Or Marvik, depending on if you want to be wrong or not. he was very... He did say, let me be clear about this, the best team won. But, you know, he was citing how angry Spain were when Howard Webb didn't give them a couple of penalties against Switzerland. And he said, you know, that perhaps the first match had an influence on this game. And also, no. Other Dutch media said that the Dutch national team perished in the World Cup final thanks largely to a chump of a referee.
Who said that?
Marwai? Dutch media.
Right? Oh, okay, sorry.
He said he hopped across the pitch, handing out cards, each time preceded the act with an irritating address of the culprit. So they're moaning that when Webb gave a yellow card, he basically gave them a ticking off as well. Yeah.
Well, they need to know why they've got it.
Exactly.
And they have a right to know that
as well.
But
this is unbelievable. You cannot blame Howard Webb for Holland not winning that final.
Arjen Robben is going to be kicking himself today. Probably missing as well.
With referees, if you go back, you can go back long enough if you want to and micromanage every single little situation you've had, and you could go back and find something sooner or later that a reason to not like a referee. It's silly. Yeah. People who pipe up, you know, I mean, when we talked about Kalina and we put him in the Hall of Fame and stuff, well, a lot of fans, Everton fans, say, you know, well, he made this poor decision against us. And it's like, well
if you,
he's going to make poor decisions sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's just the way it goes, unfortunately.
I mean, if you put in a top-class striker, you know, you put in someone like Eusebio, I'm sure someone would say, oh, but what about that one-on-one he missed Manchester United in the European Cup final? Well, all right, everybody's making mistakes. But that that incident with Carlos Puyol and Arjen Robben, I'm sure, will be replayed a hell of a lot.
Mm. And we're kind of at a disadvantage because we are English and we are talking about an English referee. But yeah, I genuinely believe we will be seeing exactly the same thing if he was Japanese.
That's good enough for a dude's nationality at all.
I'm kind of glad that we were here to watch it for many reasons, obviously, but largely because we didn't have to listen to the commentators banging on about Howard Webb, as I'm sure they will have done. we were talking about Carlos Puyol just then. I've got an email regarding him. Randall Forza, hello.
Hello.
I'm sure people have mentioned Carlos Puyol looking like Paul McGann, but I was trying to work out who'd be the best with now to accompany him. Mesut Özil has the right pasty demeanour and bulging eyes, I think.
Yeah.
My favourite bit from Football's World Cup was the chance to study Patrick Vieira's tiny spherical head all through half time. It looks like an orange perched on a pencil. Maybe he could swap heads with Maxi Rodriguez, who appears to have a face of a giant. Keep up the good work, Jerry Gillum.
Thanks, Jerry.
It might be Gillum. So apologies there, Jerry. Obviously that's talking about With Now and I, isn't it?
I don't know that.
It's a very good film.
Puyol does look a bit like Miguel, only in certain parts of his face, though.
Yeah. I'm not having that. You said the eyes. I'm like, well, you know, the eyes.
They both got eyes.
So when we were at this fan park, which we will talk about, we were there, and some of the local fans, who were absolutely magnificent, were talking to us, and they reckoned that Luke looked a bit like a cross between Carlos Puyol and Moses. I think they're going on the hair.
It could be worse.
Because they said I look like Lionel Messi, and Pete looked like Dimitar Berbatov.
I'm having that. I'm taking that to the bank. And I'm taking that to the bank, and I'm going to stand outside that bank and smoke.
It just fuels the fire that Pete looks like an Eastern European, which he does.
Did I get Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall or James May?
No, you didn't. But Marcus got Lionel Messi. They were basically just going on hair.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Well, let's talk about the fan park. You know, we were at one of the fan parks in
Innisfree Park in Sandton.
Innisfree Park.
We had a stroll up to the stadium, see if we could possibly get a couple of tickets.
It was a long old stroll, wasn't it? I think the car park we stayed in, I still think this, was just some opportunist
who was
just saying, yeah, this is the car park, well, you can stay here. Because we were right sort of way away from the stadium, weren't we?
We didn't get tickets to the stadium, hence we were in the fan park.
But we did try our very best the preceding days.
We went to the FIFA ticket place, the official ticket outlet for
that was FIFA. Madness.
It was very strange.
I mean, empty, never been used.
No, I'm not talking about that.
I'm talking about the days before. Yeah.
When me and Marcus did the legwork, trying our very best, our darndest, you might say.
We went to the official outlet for tickets, and there was apparently tickets still available. But nobody seemed to know anything. No. There was lots of people outside just hanging around. And then when you realise that wasn't a queue, you're straight into the ticket place and straight up to the people on the counters. And I said, have you got any tickets? No, we're all sold out for the moment. Will there be any more released? We don't know. We think there's some, but we don't know. Do you know when? We don't know. Come back maybe this afternoon.
What are you for?
My favourite quote was when the security man said, the people outside that are queuing have their own reasons. their own reasons for queuing.
I didn't go to this ticket office because I stayed back at the place we were staying at. But in my head, when you describe it to me, I imagine like Sepp Blatter in the background walking around in their dressing gown with a just going, Mother! Mother! Have you found those tickets yet?
It was quite odd. I mean, We'd heard of a few ticket fiascos for the local people in South Africa, yeah. Getting a bit angry if you're queuing for a long time, but it just seemed a little disorganised. But let's not take that away from a wonderful tournament that was put on. So we did go to Soccer City, which is some stadium from the beautiful. Outside.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is huge.
Big lozenge.
It's such it's such a weird like contradiction in environments, because you've got, I mean, it's on the edge of what I think is the Soweto, one of the Soweto townships, and then you walk up a massive road, dust everywhere.
Sometimes there's no pavement as well, so you're walking in the road.
And then there's it's all dust everywhere, isn't it? And then there's a space-age, like, futuristic stadium just smacked in the middle of nowhere with a couple of roads leading up to it. Mm. Obviously, the regulatory sort of massive FIFA fences around, so no one can get anywhere near the stadium. And then there's little markets outside and stuff. I found it very odd, because the question I wanted to sort of ask of people who know this is, who is going to be using that after?
Yeah.
Because it's in the middle of nowhere. There's one road in. There's a train, what I would call a token train service in, which you can't really... I mean, we didn't see any information on that or where it was.
Yep.
And then you wonder, this time next year, what's... Mm. Yeah, like Pete said, this time next year, it'll be on fire.
There's a FIFA-branded cooling tower as
They'd wrapped a big... there was clearly like a chemical plant next door, and they just wrapped the cooling tower, the cracking tower, I think it was, in a FIFA branding. If I never see that font again... I know it's supposed to be a little bit African, a little bit sort of kooky. I don't like it.
No.
One of the strangest things...
Down with the font.
The ultimate strangest thing, though, was what I just alluded to earlier. About, say, 50 metres from Soccer City, the stadium, there's a ticket office, and it's clearly new. It's been built specifically for this purpose, obviously. It says tickets in massive neon lights at the top. You go up to it, there's no one in there, right? So there's no facility for returns, presumably, because there will be returns for a massive event like this. Not only is there no one in there, you look through the window, there's nothing inside.
And it's never been used, that's the point. Right. It's not like they've cleared stuff out.
And there's plastic still on the window.
Maybe that's where all the tickets were. Someone just sort of left them in there.
Do you reckon that, like, the ticketing people were just like, right, I'm pretty sure we got it all squared away. There's one thing. Oh, the tickets. They're going to be gutted.
It was a good atmosphere, though, in and around the stadium. Not in the stadium, around the stadium.
It was good. There was a lot of... there was
more
a lot
Dutch.
There was a huge amount of Dutch people, and it was just a wonderful. It was good to be around. I'm glad that we made the trek up there, and then managed to find the fan park.
Well, let's talk about the fan.
Oh, the fan park was glorious.
Now, incidentally, the big screen, the fan park, the whole thing is very new to South Africa, and I'm willing to bet Africa as well. Mm. It's the first time they've ever had that, so they're so excited to go and watch a game with a big screen. You know, it's just quite
and with each other. You felt
and
as
with
well.
Each other. You know, it's quite second nature in England. You know, the big screens. I mean, even at some of the music festivals, when a game's on.
Yeah, the best way I would describe it would be like a day festival you have in sort of Hyde Park. Those of you who live in London, with a big screen at the front, little outlets, little beer tents, and toilets and stuff. It's literally like that. It's no different.
But it was absolutely fantastic.
I have never had so much fun watching a football match, genuinely.
It redefined what fun is, didn't it?
What was great as well that we saw in and around the city, there were so many people selling Dutch and Spanish flags, and it wasn't a case, you know, I think of the World Cups in other countries, you know, when the host country goes out, it's a case of, oh, right, well, I suppose we'll just watch the rest of the tournament. In South Africa, it was a case of, right, well, who are we going to get behind now?
Yeah, they don't necessarily have a vested interest in one thing or the other, and that's what made it lovely.
They just love the event.
Yeah,
you know, one guy said to us, the World Cup being on in South Africa has been the most exciting time of his life.
That's a guy I chatted to, a fellow called Stanley. He said to me, he actually said, I said, have you enjoyed the World Cup? He said, I can't believe it's over, I'm upset that it's over. And he said, it's the most fantastic thing to ever happen to my life.
Yeah,
he said,
brilliant.
That's not like a 10-year-old.
And you can't, I mean, I don't know, I've not been to every country in the world, but it'd be very difficult to find a place, I think, where it would mean quite as much to the people around.
And it's just an absolute joy.
They just love it,
here.
and it sounds like if it was an English person, you'd be like, but they say, you asked him, who are you supporting tonight then for the game?
Yeah.
Oh, whoever wins. They love it.
The thing with me is I'm apart from my sort of podcast persona, I'm not very good at talking to people, but don't have a choice. They are the
So what was that about the podcast or something?
the sort of I'm not really going to talk about it in real life. It's all virtual. But I just genuinely, I've never enjoyed a country's people's company. Genuinely, every single person I've met, I've not met a single person I've thought, well, you're a bit of a tool. But genuinely,
they are so approachable, aren't they? And where we're staying, one of the places we've been hanging out quite a bit is apparently sort of quite a sort of hipster area, it seems. And so I live in East London, where there's a lot of that sort of thing about, and the even in this the sort of equivalent here, the people are approachable.
Yeah, you know?
I saw a guy in a kebab shop about 22 with a cane in East London once. He was an idiot. You wouldn't get that here.
But like just sort of like you sort of remember fragments of what went on in the middle of like in between the match and stuff. And like I had a vuvuzela, I was leading a vuvuzela style
very well.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, the lung capacity of the local people is ridiculously good. You know,
but
you
did well. Altitude, you know.
Yeah, there you are.
But and they were doing this special dance and stuff, and everyone was getting involved with that. So much fun.
You know, in a high school Hollywood teen silly film, when you know they're at the prom, there's a particular one. She's All That.
Where they all dance to Fatboy Slim.
Exactly. Yeah. And suddenly it all breaks, and you think, oh, shut up. Do you know what I mean? That doesn't happen in real life. Well, it does. Yeah. Right? And it happened at the fan park.
At half time.
Half time was one of the most beautiful and wonderful 15 minutes of my life.
Agreed.
One of the things that surprised me as well, just on sort of following on from what you guys are saying, is that I was always told that this is the African people were massively into their football, whereas the guys of English and Dutch heritage who went to their rugby. But every single English or Dutch guy I've spoken to, who obviously is South African, lives in South Africa, have always been keen in the football as well. They've all been given like weeks off for the tournament and stuff, all the students, and every single person has been into it. It genuinely has touched every single person that I've met.
The one sort of negative about that is that every South African person I've spoken to has supported an English team, and they don't even have a South African team they support, which is a shame. I hope this changes that.
Well, that's why again the stadiums and stuff are a concern, because you wonder them, who's going to fill them, who's going to go and watch them, you know. So
well, going back to the fan park where we were watching the game, it was just joyous, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. At half time, this just sort of spontaneous dancing amongst ourselves kind of broke out. You just couldn't help but join in with the people. For the four of us to be jumping around, singing and dancing, that's never happened before.
We're just chanting, vuvuzela-ing, everything.
Yeah. And it's worth pointing out, actually, that I've not found the vuvuzelas annoying when I've been in the company of them. It's really strange. Yeah. It actually does add to the atmosphere.
Luke hilariously can't play them.
I don't
think any of us are too good at them, are we?
I think I'm excellent.
No, Pete mastered it, I think.
I'm an ex-trumpeter.
Pete's got really chapped lips at that. He told me because he kept playing the vuvuzela yesterday.
The top of my lip is huge. You know, I was impressing some ladies with my prowess.
One of the oddest things about a vuvuzela, though, is if you're standing in that, when we were standing in that fan park watching the game, you'd hear the vuvuzela behind you, and it would sound like it was right behind you. You look back and it'd be about 20 metres.
That's right, It was just a fantastic atmosphere.
It's the best place I've ever watched a game.
Definitely.
And there was no attitude. There was no nastiness. It was just absolutely wonderful to be surrounded there. And
I don't think we'll ever do it justice in words.
No.
But I mean, as we said before, you know, the Africa has never had these kind of parks. So hopefully, in the next tournaments, you know, they'll be able to carry that on. Because, as I say, you know, obviously they support their own team, but it's just amazing, like people turning up with covered in Spain gear, and they turn round, and you think, you're clearly not Spanish, you know, but they just love it. They're just like, well, we want to get in the spirit of it, you know.
I just really like the fact that a lot of them, they're not even, you know, they don't particularly like football, but they like the spectacle, and they enjoy the sense of community, and they enjoy the idea of coming together and supporting something. And it's something. Unity is such a sort of difficult thing to get right, and football has it in droves. And I think maybe in 4 years' time, people will be into the football simply because for these reasons, not necessarily the football reasons. Because let's face it, the football hasn't been scintillating at times. So.
Well, I think a really interesting sort of point of the World Cup is how it did start off very slowly. The group stages certainly weren't classic. But the final aside, I think the knockout rounds were really, really good games. Yeah. There was some great football there.
I agree with that. I think that... Well, just to pick up on what Peter Marcus was saying, is they could perhaps harness the enthusiasm they've got for this, maybe in the African Cup of Nations, and maybe at the parks there as well.
That's right.
To see if they can keep it going and keep people interested, you know.
Yeah, that would be superb. Friends of the show, James Cox.
And Tom and Anthony Brazier.
Yeah, the brothers.
Yeah.
They've been following England and going to other matches all around South Africa. They said it's been a magnificent tournament.
Yeah.
They've loved every second of it. And they said it was the safety, yeah. It was all there.
I genuinely believe that South Africa, certainly Johannesburg, has been dealt a particular disservice from the British media. To be honest, the Foreign Office as well, to be honest. Cause I realise the picture of safety and security is very different during the World Cup, because I imagine the police have done their darndest, so to speak. Yeah. And they're rather uncompromising, the Johannesburg police, their reputation.
But it's been nothing like that at all.
But there's just been nothing, you know. I mean, the odd pickpocketing, but as I said, there's nothing like that that you wouldn't expect. Like, you'd expect that sort of thing at a music festival.
Yeah.
So that was the parallel that I drew.
I mean, there has been a bigger police presence, of course, but a lot of credit to the South African population. In a South African newspaper, they recently published a cartoon showing British tabloid journalists at an Eat Your Words dinner, tucking into their articles predicting mayhem and murder at the World Cup. The cartoon was by Zapiro, who's South Africa's most famous cartoonist.
I like that even exists.
But it was in response to the ridiculous things that the British press were predicting, and they also had that the journalist dessert was shown as humble pie.
Yeah, oh, classic. I think, I'm not sure if we mentioned this in the past briefly on the last show, but that when we chatted to Americans and Dutch people particularly, they hadn't had any of this. They hadn't had any of the media
being the warnings.
Up. Yeah, so they were completely oblivious. And then when we started talking to them about, you know, has it always been safe? How have you been getting on? They were like, well, yeah, it's been absolutely fine. You know, they didn't know anything about it. So I think it was just that there was a particularly bad piece in, I think it was the Daily Mail. Before
really?
Yeah. Surprise.
Wowzers.
Talking about how...
Big read of yours, is it?
No. Talking about how there would be, like, you know, groups of youths outside each bar and just mugging people at gunpoint. And yeah, I haven't heard any of that happen.
So. No, nonsense.
I've done a bit of mugging.
Yeah, of me.
I mean, you know, people shouldn't predict things, okay?
No.
People shouldn't. No. Octopuses should.
Yeah. And octopi?
Octopuses.
and you know, you gentlemen look at me and think, oh, Spain were the winners of the World Cup. Yeah. Really? Well, I beg to differ. Paul the Octopus was given a replica of the World Cup.
Oh, good man.
Wow. He's the real winner for me and for many other people. Yeah. And this is because he got the reward for his perfect 8-for-8 record in picking matches.
It's amazing.
It's genuinely incredible.
The probability is obviously 50-50.
Yeah.
Times itself by 8. It's still quite good.
Yeah. I'd like to see him do first minute of goal scored and how many corners.
Well, could do a Ray Winston advert.
Yeah. Let's see how good he really is, eh? Yeah.
Britain play now.
Hold on. And, I'm an octopus.
He's a German octopus.
Yeah. Sorry. Hold it on and.
Schlafenhaufen.
However,
but now, well, you're all wondering what he's now going to do. The World Cup's over. Well, Daniel.
The stock market.
Daniel Fay, who's a supervisor at Sea Life, which is a Sea Life centre in Germany, he said, "We've had a lot of offers for Paul, Man City, but he now wants to say goodbye to the whole world." Does he though?
He's retiring on top, mate. Let him go.
Is he going to eat him? is that man going to eat Paul the Octopus?
No. This is what he's going to do. This is wonderful stuff. He said, Mr. Faye said, he really enjoyed all the media attention, but now he's returning to his old job.
What's his old job?
On the bins, I don't
know. You've got to have a trade to fall back on. I reckon he's a lecky. Yeah. Definitely.
Underwater wouldn't work.
No.
He works in a betting shop.
Yeah.
Exactly. What do you reckon, Paul? Yeah. Hang on a minute, I'll just climb in the tank.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also said, there's no rational reason why he always got it right.
Mm.
No.
See,
just to make sure that everybody knows that this was luck, okay?
I'm not sure that Paul's fully aware of the concept of what's happening around him.
I don't think so either. Although I think he's strangely more aware of what's happening than Sepp Blatter.
Yeah. However, there was a bit of a... you see, now this is where people get carried away.
This tends to be good, though, doesn't it?
Yes, of course. Hence, it's included. He made a lot of bettors around the world, made small fortunes based on Paul's predictions, incidentally. However, after Spain beat Germany, which is what Paul predicted, many people in Germany wanted to publicly grill him.
Jeez. Yeah. It's harsh.
It isn't it?
They're
ridiculous.
Not even a big octopus eating country.
And publicly, the sea life installed extra security to protect Paul, the octopus.
Unbelievable.
How are you going to nick an octopus?
With great difficulty.
Crazy.
Anarchic.
Yeah, absolutely. Should I jump in with an email? Because I'm not going to Diego Corner tonight.
Oh, you're not?
No.
You're going somewhere instead?
Well, I went back earlier. It's like the lock-up's all padlocked up and stuff. No. Yeah, so looks like the police have finally caught up with me and him. So I'll tell you what I'll give you, though. The next best thing.
Go on.
Regular listeners will be very pleased to hear that I've got an update from Testicle Matt.
Testicle Matt.
Off you go.
Testicle Matt. Testicle Matt. Do-do-do-do.
Mexico City.
So off you pop to Testicle Corner, sure.
Yeah,
that's Testicle Town, actually.
Well, Diego Corner could be renamed for Diego Forlan, perhaps.
Well,
yeah. But I'd have to run that past the big man. No, I don't want to. You know. But anyway, Testicle Matt, Ramble Force Hole.
Oh.
Testicle Matt in Mexico City here. Well, the testicle has struck again.
Struck what?
Yeah, I don't know if this is true, but I don't care. After returning to work, they tried on the sly to dock my final wages for being off sick. Oh. One of the many crazy excuses was that I got to watch the World Cup while I was off. Obviously, I wasn't going to let them rip me off, so I took myself and my testicle and sat in the finance director's chair and refused to move until they paid me.
Does he sometimes choose to leave it at home?
Yeah, I don't know. They were not happy, but I got my money, but in return, they decided to sack me. Yes, Marcus was right with his pun. The testicle being sacked was correct. No worries, though, as I was due to leave at the end of the week anyway. I got all the money that was due to me, and I could then watch both the semis uninterrupted. It was great to see the establishment throw their toys out of the cot. Mexico has been a great experience, especially in terms of football. The Azteca Stadium fully deserves its place in the Hall of Fame.
Good.
It's now time for Pastors New. I'm off to the Czech Republic.
Why not?
Check these testicles.
Fantastic World Cup shows, especially Diego Corner. Cheers, Testicle Matt, Mexico City. Thanks, Matt.
Do keep us updated on your bollocks.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, just look after them. Put that money to good use. Some supportive pants for them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
My giddy aunt. Well, from one outrageous man to another.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy Jump time.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Jimmy Jump, who's a notorious pitch invader from Spain.
Mm. Yeah. He's the one who did the old Figo thing.
Yeah, and he
jumped into the net, didn't he?
Yeah, like he was scoring a goal with himself. Yeah.
He's
like
a prankster.
Yeah.
He goes around big sporting events doing silly things, running onto pitches and whatnot.
He claims that he jumps them, doesn't he? That's his thing.
That's why he's called Jimmy Jump.
Yes.
Or, you know, James or Jimmy Jump, I'd imagine he's probably replied to. Now, I don't know if you've seen the picture of this. It looks like he's trying to two-foot the little platform.
But he slipped, didn't he?
Yeah.
But did he not knock it over? Because the picture that depicts him actually sort of... It did look like there's no other sort of way of getting out of that. He's knocking that stroke over.
We don't know. And do you know what it is? It's ironic because we're here. We're so out of the loop, it's untrue. Yeah. Back in England, we'd know.
Coxie and everyone else that's been driving around... They thought the Kaká sending off was completely legit. Yeah. They were actually at the game.
They didn't realise
Fabiano had handballed the ball for the goal that he scored. It's incredible.
They're finding it hard to get on the internet as well. I've been on the phone every bloody day. Yeah. So they keep on coming up with lies about why they haven't fixed the Wi-Fi, etc. etc.
You know, just the boys we chatted to, we met last night, Coxie and that, they said that... they went into an internet cafe, right? And they wanted to use the internet.
Oh, this is class.
And the guy behind the counter said, "Sorry, you can't use the internet." And he said, "Why?" And he said, "Because it's run out."
Someone had gone out to get some more internet.
Yeah.
Dig up some websites.
That's what we're dealing with.
That's marvellous stuff. Well, anyway, we're back to Jump. Mm. He nearly managed to plant one of his trademark Catalan hats on the World Cup trophy yesterday. Oh,
He had the Jimmy Jump Says No to Racism t-shirt on, didn't he?
But it's a good message.
Let's jump racism out of Jimmy Jump.
Yeah, he was thrown to the ground by the security guards, and he was carried off by the security members. Later arrested, but the picture is great. He's kind of like on his back, giving it the big one. It's almost like he's triumphantly sort of smiling and grinning away.
Yeah. How has he got?
How is he still allowed into stadiums?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's brilliant because he's completely harmless.
He got tips from Pavlos Joseph, I reckon.
Speaking of which, haven't we got an email?
I've got a relatable email.
Oh. Handy.
Yeah, good. It's from a man by the name of Josh in Melbourne, Australia. Josh Uvarage.
That
Uvarage. You've arrived. Evening, fellas. Just stumbled across something interesting you might like to hear. Listening to the ESPN SoccerNet World Cup podcast. Before you close the email and discuss, remember that I need something to pass the time between World Cup rambles.
Acceptable.
SoccerNet editor-in-chief John Bruin was being interviewed about being in South Africa and his favourite anecdote of the World Cup this year. He went on to detail how he'd been giving a pass to the mix zone, which was presumably some sort of zone where journalists mix, etc.
Okay, yeah.
And seeing a huge crowd of Mexican and South African journalists, decided to exit the stadium because he wasn't going to get anywhere. Presumably he couldn't get in or whatever. Lukey referred to the seven grades of security between a punter and being a player in the I'm Pavlos and I Need a Toilet podcast. Yeah. And it was curious that John Bruin, upon discovering that the stadium staff had not been properly briefed when he asked for the exits, he marched straight into the Mexican dressing room completely without security with a group of half-naked Mexicans. Wonderful. So exactly the same as Pavlos, basically.
We should have done that at the World Cup final.
Yeah. Keep up the good work, and thanks for the great rambles throughout the World Cup. That is an absolute pleasure, Josh.
Yeah, thanks, Josh.
Yeah. Mm.
Hmm. Yeah, we should have just walked up to the stadium and any open door.
Well, do you know what was happening?
There's holes in it. We could have dived through if we thought of bringing a trampoline.
One thing I noticed, actually, when we were outside the stadium yesterday, was that there was a load of cars driving right through the gates, through the big fences, up to the stadium. And the only thing they were had to do was present a card. And it was obviously one card per car.
Yeah.
But there was loads of people just on their own. So you could have jumped in the car, said to the guy, it's a tenner, jumped in the car and got right up to the stadium. You could have got right up there if you really wanted to.
Yeah. Okay. I was unaware of this. Why on earth did you not say this the other day?
Well, because I didn't know. Well,
he did say it, to be fair to him.
I piped up and said, well, you know, but I didn't want to get a bad reputation.
He doesn't want to be a Jimmy Jump.
Yeah, for near do well in
Jimmy Jump the queue.
Because the way I see it, the best case scenario, you get into the World Cup final. The worst case scenario, you end up in the FIFA court. Everyone's happy. Everyone wins.
There's a story for the podcast.
Is the FIFA court still here? Is it just staying now?
No, are they just taking over the rule of South Africa?
Bang on the final whistle, it collapsed.
Collapsed.
We saw some interesting t-shirts, didn't we?
Anti-FIFA t-shirts.
Yeah, anti-FIFA t-shirts.
Oh, really? I missed this.
Thick FUFA.
Yeah,
thick
that's FUFA. Yeah.
T-shirts. Nice. And FIFA Mafia or something?
Mafifa, yeah. Like
Mafifa.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We like that.
They have been very... evidently present, haven't they? FIFA,
yeah.
It's just,
everywhere.
They're just
everything.
Everywhere.
Since when the World Cup became the FIFA World Cup? I find it very. It leaves a nasty FIFA-related taste in my mouth.
It's obviously always been run by FIFA, but they're so aggressively.
But they're marketing themselves like they're a product, and they're not.
Yeah,
they're just a lot of old men who just balance the
even
books.
Even on the replays, you get FIFA. Yeah, like sort of flash across your face without you really knowing. It's like subliminal messaging.
We had some FIFA beers last night, didn't we?
You're actually wearing a 2010 FIFA World Cup jacket. I must admit,
I was very cold at the fan park because I only wore a jumper, and I'm like northern than that.
Yeah.
But then I decided, right, it's too cold. I'm buying a 15 quid flipping fleece to line set clock
it. Right.
You only did that so you could take it off again, like a true Geordie.
Don't worry, we will be burning it at some point.
Yes.
No, we won't.
With Pete in it.
Lovely souvenir.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
Oi. I'll decide. Right, well, let's talk about the golden shoe.
Yeah. Mm. You're not happy about this, are you? You're up in arms.
I'm not happy either, to be honest, Luke.
Well, okay,
I'm quite happy.
Content.
Okay, well, emotions aside, Müller, the German player, has been awarded the golden shoe.
Ridiculous.
That was pretty much guaranteed to happen the moment when we recorded, when we were back home. I said he wasn't really that good.
Yes.
Well, I said he was a good young player.
You've been hanging out in Diego Corner.
Yeah.
Mariano referred to him as a ball boy, and he was like, Luke, don't worry, he's not going to win it.
I'm Team Diego. He's got 8 goals in 12 games for Germany now.
Well, he's done very well. So the 4 people who finished on 5 goals are, of course, David Villa, Schneider, Forlan, and Müller.
Well, Schneider shouldn't be in that list.
Schneider shouldn't be in that list.
No.
You're right. But the reason why Müller got the golden shoe is because he contributed 3 assists.
Mm.
And he also played less minutes, I think,
It's not an assists doing competition.
I think
it's
exactly.
Not the golden assist.
Absolutely right.
Assists have got nothing to do with it.
Well, yeah, they should all get one.
I think whoever hits the bar of the post should get it.
Well, that's
because that's closer to being a goal than an assist, I think.
Well, it should just be divided directly between the amount of minutes they play.
Yes.
Because that's how effective you are as a striker. Yeah,
maybe you get like a golden soul, a golden tongue.
Yeah,
you
maybe,
know, they just divide up the boots.
Yeah, chop it in 4. But I think the amount of minutes that were played that was taken into account as well. It's a shame when you see 4 players joint top scorer. I mean, and 5 goals isn't that many either. It's annoying.
Yeah. But isn't it incredible? Ronaldo, Fernando Torres, Wayne Rooney, Lionel Messi, and Kaká.
right?
Yeah.
One goal between them.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Mm. Absolutely incredible.
So Tim Lovejoy, kiss of death.
It yeah. is. Muller was also awarded best young player.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's probably fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think this, part of the reason that this has happened is people antiquate the best players with being the most famous players, which just obviously isn't the case.
It's they don't not, antiquate either. With it, they equate.
Equate with it, of course, yes.
That's something completely different.
Have you met antiquate? violent drunk. Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah, very true. Iker Casillas, he won the Golden Glove.
Mm. Yeah, that was Buffon.
I don't think that's fair because he didn't score any goals. Surely Suarez should have got that.
But he started many duels though.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great that's a great glove to have if you do want a duel.
2006, John Terry was in the team of the World Cup. Not this time though.
No. Yeah. But player of the tournament.
Yeah. Mm.
Most crucially. Diego Forlan.
I'm delighted with that.
23.4% of the vote. Schneider was second with 21.8% and Villa was third with 16.9%.
I think that's about right. I mean, yeah, I
wouldn't have had Schneider second. I think it's a good tournament, but I'd have probably had Villa in there.
I think Schneider's been excellent. I really do.
No, he's been good, but I think Villa's been more...
More better? Is that more what you're better. Saying?
None of them have played in the Premier League. Yeah. Oh, apart from Forlan.
What does that tell you?
Well, you know, I'd like to see like a FIFA branded 2010 DVD, just so I can watch the whole thing in concatenated form.
Whilst being indoctrinated.
Yeah.
With some subliminal messages from FIFA.
It was quite nice.
Buy our things.
Subliminal.
Diego Forlan was asked, how did you find out you'd won the player of the tournament? And he said that after he was nominated, he heard there was rumours that he might win, but there was nothing concrete, of course. He said, then he got a message from a friend which said, congratulations, you've won the Golden Ball. He said, then my agent called me and confirmed it. I started getting more calls and suddenly all my squad mates charged into my room and before I knew it, they chucked me into the hotel swimming pool.
Bit of banter. Yeah. Hey, bit of banter.
Imagine if he'd hurt his head. Well, imagine he cracked his head. Wouldn't that have been a tragedy?
The tournament's over.
That is a bad advertisement for jealous squad mates.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So. They one of them got really carried away and like, held his head.
David, stop it!
Well, he did score a lovely goal in the third place playoff where they got beaten 3-2 by Germany. Good game.
It was. It was a really impressive game. As I believe it was you, Luke, said earlier, it's, you know, it is a lot more free. And if you look at sort of traditionally the scorelines in those games, they're clearly sort of very, very good games.
I think Forlan's goal, I think he mishit that.
Mm. See, actually, I think...
Did he?
I think if you look at where his face is looking... I think he caught on a different part of his boot, and that's why the keeper sort of didn't get anywhere near it. He sort of went the other way.
I'm not having that. It was a technique. It was he knows exactly when you see a striker head of the ball into the ground.
Pete, I've scored a lot of volleys in my time. I'll tell you now.
No, always hit it into the ground. Always hit it into the ground.
As the resident volley expert around this table.
The resident volley expert.
As the ball came in, he thought, this is the Jabulani, and I'm going to hit it into the ground and see if you can save that goalkeeper. Take that, son. Take that. I think I find that was the exact thought process. Yeah.
Thanks very much. I will.
Because Forlan thinks in Scottish.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope no one throws me into a swimming pool. Yeah. Have I left the oven on?
One thing we forgot to mention earlier is that the viewing figures back home were overwhelmingly in favour for the BBC.
Yeah, of course they were.
They showed the game simultaneously, I believe. Obviously, we weren't there. But and I think something like only 3 million watched the ITV coverage and 17 million watched the BBC.
That's absolutely incredible, isn't it? Mm. See, I think to make the final more exciting is to have it so that to win the World Cup, you have to come third.
Good idea.
It's sort of... No, I was going to say first the worst, second the best.
No, come on.
It's a bit childish.
Should we do our predictions to end?
Shall we?
Mm. That's what I was going to say.
Good man.
You're an anchor man in the making.
Yeah, I'm going to open mine up.
Learning,
my learning,
learning, anchor. Learning from the best you are. Right, everybody got theirs ready.
Yeah, so why don't we tell the listeners what we just remind them what we...
Let's remind them what happened. Spain won.
What we did was, before the start of the World Cup, we made a certain number of predictions pertaining to red cards, golden shoe.
It was first place, second place, total goals scored in the whole tournament, the total red cards in the whole tournament, where England were going to finish, and the golden boot winner.
Yep. And we hid them away. Jim put in a little envelope from the bank. Mm-hmm. I wrote mine on the back of a cigarette packet. Even though I don't smoke.
Jim picked it up off the street.
Jim wrote it in a book.
I mean, no, that's me. Luke.
Sorry, Luke.
All right. On a scrap piece of paper. Now,
let's go category by category then.
Winners, Spain. Pete, what do you have?
I had Brazil.
Nil pois.
I had Brazil.
Okay.
Brazil. Oh, by the way, we did this all secretly, so no one knows everyone else did.
Yeah. Spain.
Well done,
Marcus.
So Marcus is winning.
Well done.
Yep. Runners up.
I had the Netherlands.
Oi!
Well done.
Brace yourself. Italy.
Dookie.
Holland.
No, you never.
I did Holland.
Shut up.
You could have wrote that.
I had Holland.
You swine.
You had Brazil Holland final.
Yes, because they couldn't. The only way they could have met in the final is if one of them didn't win their group. And I thought my rationale was Holland would start quite slowly.
Yeah. Okay. I had Brazil second.
Not too bad.
So. Yeah.
Get nothing for that.
Total goals, 145.
I had 140.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
147.
Oh!
Even closer.
130.
I had 163. A little bit
ambitious.
A little bit hopeful.
It's gone down every year, hasn't it?
James, you've got that one.
Yeah.
Red card, 17.
I had 14.
Oh, not bad.
I had 10. I was so naively.
There was 10 after the first week. 12.
17.
Oh,
and Van Bommel should have gone, so I shouldn't really have that.
Yeah. There were 17.
No, sorry, I had 18.
Oh, okay.
I had
18. Right,
I was one off, so I've got that one. England.
Quarters.
I had.
Quarters, yeah.
Don't say
semis.
It's coming home. It's coming home.
Shut up, you lot. What I was thinking. Rubbish.
We've not finished. I had quarters as well, so nobody gets anything there. Golden boot winner.
Oh, I had a beauty. I wrote down Diego Forlan, and then I crossed him out and put Valdez of Paraguay.
He scored one goal.
He got one goal.
It's a stinking one.
I do like that, though. You went out on a limb there, Pete. Well done.
I went for my very own footballing discovery, Gonzalo Higuain.
Good.
I was sort of floating between him and Van Persie. I went for him in the end.
I went for Luis Fabiano, which I think was an all right shout at the time.
David Villa.
Don't that's fair enough.
Yeah, another one I've won there. That's it. So
if you wanted any confirmation that none of us know anything about football,
here it is.
You now have it.
Or the apology at the start of the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So
I think that the categories, I won 1, 2, 3 categories.
Pete and I won one.
Pete, you got the points there.
Yeah, I got
basically
one.
Basically, I won. Gentlemen, I got the predictions.
Well done.
I thought Spain.
Well
won.
Done.
So, no, I'm. Now the tournament's finished, we can look at all the awards.
Yeah.
I'm right up there with them.
Yeah, fair enough. Congratulations.
You've achieved more than them in a way.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Any passing comments, gentlemen?
I hate you. It's been a pleasure,
isn't it? Just
you snore.
My.
Did you not know?
Luke fidgets in bed.
I recorded myself sleeping.
Surely people have told you.
No one's interested in that. You can talk about this afterwards.
I've drunken so much beer in the last 3 days.
Yeah, Pete's been an absolute party monster. It's been brilliant.
I've enjoyed hanging out with all these people that I'm never going to see again.
Their choice.
I've just been getting hammered every night. Wonderful.
Great.
But working at the same time.
I don't think anyone else wants to tonight, but you and I, Pete, will be out there.
Yeah.
I'll be getting slightly more cockney when I drink for some reason.
He gets cockney when
he's drinking. Chimney sweeps.
Yeah. Luke starts to fancy boys, it seems.
Oh, God.
He always finds a fresh-faced boy to hang
out
with.
Marcus, can you save this, mate? Because I'm getting absolutely besmirched.
Marcus actually probably has more fun than any of us, somehow. Yeah. He's hungover on life.
Hungover?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
One thing I've got to mention before we go away is that you can still check out all our stuff on Man Month. There will be some excellent videos coming up with footage from the fan park and the stadium at Soccer City and stuff, so make sure you check that out. Mm. James has got one more blog he's going to chuck up as well, so give that a look. And that's all in association with the IGN network and 1 Million Fragrance for Men.
Yeah, it's also, as we mentioned on the last show as well, that is our last show on the manmonth.co.uk site, so do get yourself over to iTunes to subscribe or to thefootballramble.com if you have been listening on there and want to continue.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that leaves me to say, if you'd like to get in touch with us, of course, the website address is podcast@thefootballramble.com, and the website address is thefootballramble.com. The next podcast you will hear, we will be back in Bonnie Blighty, and we will be continuing throughout the summer.
Yeah.
Mm. But only once a week.
It's no part-time, no part-time hustle around these parts. It's 24/7. Yeah, it will be one show a week, though. One show a week.
One show a week. Back to the norm.
We've all got homes to go to.
The heady days of the World Cup.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Bafana, Bafana.
Say goodbye, James or Jim. Mm,
goodbye.
And say goodbye, Luke.
Mother!
We're off to plant one of the trademark Football Ramble t-shirts on the World Cup.
Cheers.
This is the World Cup final, and I'm only here for the Football Ramble.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.